Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 40. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight, but if you want to follow on your pew Bibles, you can. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they'd been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and no cure could be found. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Amen. I really don't want to say very much tonight because I want us to allow time for prayer. But this story about the woman who touched Jesus' coat and Jairus coming to Jesus because he was concerned about his daughter, it's a famous story. It's one of those stories we tell our children. But I wonder, what do we make of it? What do we learn from it? On a very superficial level, we learn that Jesus heals. Or at least we learn that there are recorded instances of Jesus healing. And that's fair enough. And after listening to the stories from Georgina and Brian tonight, we hear that Jesus continues to heal. But I wonder, is it that all we learn? And if we're honest, while we rejoice with Brian and with Georgina, and we do rejoice and we are amazed, but we're left with questions about those who have not been so fortunate. I want to tell you something of my story. My brother Andrew was diagnosed with a particularly aggressive form of cancer in 2006, whenever he was 31. He was married with a young son who was only about 3 at the time. For 2 years, people prayed the length and breadth of the country. In many ways, his story echoed your story, Brian, with so many people from so many different congregations and denominations praying for him. The result of all of this prayer was that in 2008, when Andrew was 33 and his son was 5 years old and had just started P1 in September of that year, Andrew died. Now, again, I want to make clear, I rejoice with Brian and with Georgina. I'm truly thrilled for them, and I'm absolutely delighted that our church has been able to hear their story tonight. I'm even more delighted that they have a story to tell, and I give God all of the glory. Yet we're left with a conundrum. Why are some healed and some not? If experience tells us that not all are healed, What are we to learn from stories like this one? That God has his favorites? Certainly not. God is just in all things. Yes, God heals. There's no question about that. But there's something more in these stories for us to learn. And that is that the blessing is not in the healing, but in the coming to Jesus. What will the hardest part of tonight be? Will it be wondering what on earth we should pray for? Will it be wondering what to do if someone leaves here tonight having not been healed? Or will it be mustering the courage to get up out of our seat and to come to one of these two seats at the front and ask for prayer? I suspect this will be the hardest part of tonight. That there will be people here who long to be prayed for, but they will find the act of getting up and physically coming forward utterly terrifying. My brother was not healed. My family underwent incredible pain. My parents still suffer today, 11 years later. Yet I now know and understand that the blessing was in knowing that people were praying. Andrew came to faith during his illness. And I have no doubt that it was because of the fact that people were praying that I stood over his grave with an incredible sense of peace. I very intentionally asked Georgina tonight what it was like to be prayed with, because I firmly believe that it is in the coming to Jesus, that act of desperation and dependence where Jesus is our only hope, that we are blessed. I think Jesus understood that when he asked, "Who touched me?" He didn't want to humiliate that woman. In fact, whenever she publicly confessed that she had touched the hem of his cloak and explained why she had touched him, Jesus was actually declaring himself to be unclean. Jesus wanted the woman to know the blessing of having to confess her need of Jesus. Folks, it's wonderful to hear the stories that we have heard tonight of people being healed. It's wonderful to hear of how God is touching and continues to touch people's lives in a miraculously way. And I can tell you, if after tonight we hear more stories of people being healed, I will be utterly thrilled, as I'm guessing they will as well. But the simple act of surrendering to Jesus, of coming, having the courage to step forward, I firmly believe that is where the blessing will be found. And as Brian has already said, prayer is not just for those who are ill. Prayer is for each and every one of us. And so please tonight, should anybody come and occupy these chairs, or should you see somebody going down in amongst the congregation and praying with somebody, please don't try to to guess what's wrong with them. There may be nothing wrong with them. They may just want to be prayed with. They may just want to know that blessing of confessing their need of Jesus. And so tonight, we're going to invite people to come and to surrender all to Jesus and to receive his blessing. We invite you to occupy one of these two seats. You can wait on this front pew if you want. If you think, if I don't move here and now, I'm never going to move, and so you just want to get up and there are people there, well then sit here, because we'll then call you forward at the right time and that will be grand. And you'll have made that difficult move. But we don't want any of this to be a barrier to people being prayed with. And so if you just can't come for whatever reason, listen, grab my attention. You know, somebody who waves at me tonight, I'm going to take that as a sign that you want somebody to come and pray with you. And so we will just come to where you are. And if you want to approach us at the end of the service and say, look, I just couldn't do any of that, but I would really like prayer, we will pray with you at the end of the service. Okay? There's nothing magic about these seats, so we will accommodate people in whatever way we can. We're going to stand to sing My Jesus, My Savior. And after we sit down, and as we sit down and while we're singing, I'm going to invite Julia and Brian to come and to wait here, and they will be here and available to pray with people. I'm going to invite Denise to join me over here, and likewise we will be available to pray with anyone. And if you would like prayer, after we have finished singing this and everybody has sat down, and Heather is going to play something wonderful, I'm sure, just come forward and we will pray with you or wave at us or do something. And if nobody comes, do you know what? That's fine. Heather will just not have to play for as long, and we'll finish a bit earlier, and that is okay. That's perfectly fine. When we come to the end of the time of prayer, Heather is going to play another piece on the piano. That will allow us just to sit quietly and reflect on what God has been saying to us and what has been happening. And then we'll sing and close with a benediction. So we could be away shortly. We could be here all night. It's entirely up to you. But we'll stand to sing, My Jesus, My Savior. Lord, there is none like you. Thanks, Heather.